getting your afternoon started right now. It's Pat Steinberg on The Big Show. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Come with me now. Come with me now.
If they and the group want to sit out, it's not our fault. We don't think. It's not our fault at all. We've offered great offers. And what we're getting back are nonsensical in our minds.
That, again, the voice of John Davidson, the president of hockey operations in Columbus, as I think still the most dominant and certainly one that has the most opportunity to develop story is that of Ryan Johansson's non-contract with the Blue Jackets right now. Still unsigned and still looking, or the Blue Jackets still looking to get him under contract before the start of training camp tomorrow. That's not going to happen. In less than 24 hours, he's going to officially be a training camp holdout. But in the time being, before that, we're still talking about it. And I think this is going to be something that probably is as training camp gets underway and a week into training camp without Johansson, we'll kind of forget about it. But it'll always kind of be lingering that, oh yeah, Ryan Johansson's not in Columbus. And I guess for me, what I'm really interested in seeing is what happens if the Blue Jackets don't get off to a great start. Like, they had a great, their finish to last season wasn't great. I mean, 29 teams don't finish the season the way they want to. So when the Blue Jackets lost out in Game 6 to Pittsburgh in round one, it was not a great end of the season. But bigger picture, final couple months of the season there for Columbus, there was a lot of excitement. That playoff atmosphere with everything going on as it did in Columbus, those games that were played there, the playoff games, Game 4 specifically, like, it was a madhouse. There was excitement. There was certainly some hope and promise and all of that. So now if the Blue Jackets don't carry that forward to start the season and they don't have Ryan Johansson in the lineup, I really wonder how quickly that becomes a dominant story once again. So I believe Ryan Johansson's a dominant story right now, and I believe that will continue to be the case for the next couple of days, but eventually it'll fade to the background. I think it'll start to become a pretty dominant story once again if the Blue Jackets don't start their 2014-15 season in the way they want to. We've heard a couple of clips from John Davidson. Between 2 and 3 o'clock, Robbie and I are going to play a pretty big chunk of his interview with Bob McCown and Stephen Brunt yesterday. He kind of his opening soliloquy, if you will. He talked for about three and a half minutes just about the entire scenario and how come it's so frustrating and all of that. So that's coming up between 2 and 3. Coming up at 1:10 this afternoon, so less than 3 minutes, we'll hear from Jeff Merrick of Sportsnet as interesting special on Sportsnet tonight that I want to talk to about Jeff. It'll be, again, revisiting one of the themes that has been one of the kind of constant themes throughout this summer. Maybe flying a little bit under the radar. Not really. It's one of the top stories on most sports pages right now, but we haven't talked a whole lot about it yet. No Crosby, no Malkin at training camp to start the season, start camp anyway, for the Pittsburgh Penguins. They're going to miss the first few days of training camp because I would assume minor injuries sustained while they were doing some training to get ready for the season. Doesn't seem as if they're anything major. It sounds like everything is just going to be precautionary, but yeah, you're always kind of worrying. You're always kind of, especially when it's 87 involved. I mean, Crosby's injury history and the way that injuries have knocked him out longer than we think they should or think that we would have knocked him out for in recent years. You're always kind of on edge. And then they say it's not related to his wrist. You're like, okay, so what is it? You know, the concussion, which then turned into a neck injury, dragged on for seemingly forever. And then remember the Jerome Iginla year. So that is the 2013, end of the 2012-2013 season when Iginla first got there. Crosby gets hurt and the jaw injury took him way longer than we expected to return. So you're always worrying when it comes to Sidney Crosby injury notes. And so you hope that everything's going to be all right in that respect. Also, Evgeny Malkin on the same front. You want to make sure both these guys are good to go. I still think Pittsburgh is your odds-on favorite to win the Metropolitan Division. I can't see any team being able to beat the Penguins out during the regular season. With or without Johansson, I think Columbus could be a factor. I think the New York Rangers, as defending Eastern Conference champions, will have something to say about that. Philadelphia will be in the mix. But I still think Pittsburgh's your best team in that division. I still think the Penguins have the best roster. Even with some of the losses they sustained this offseason, they still, to me, look like the best team. But no Crosby, no Malkin to kick off the start of camp. And Chris Johnston and I talked about this whole Timu Solani thing. Not such a fan of Bruce Boudreau, according to a forthcoming autobiography. I found the comments to be extremely surprising. Not because he was saying anything about Bruce Boudreau, not because he was being outspoken. These are things that we've come to know about Sidney Crosby, Timu Solani. He's always been open. He's always been honest, all of that. But I guess it was just more the scathing nature of the comments, because he's usually pretty politically correct. He's usually a guy who isn't going to ruffle too many feathers. He's usually a guy who's very much respectful of the game and wants to carry himself a certain way. And I'm not saying he's being disrespectful or anything like that, but to come out with some pretty scathing comments about his former coach, Bruce Boudreau, certainly surprised me. He said that Boudreau was kind of a nemesis of his and was disrespectful to him in benching him in game, not even benching him, but making him a healthy scratch in game four of that series against Dallas and cutting his ice time back. And, you know, he said that his words were, it would have been a disgrace, not a disgrace. He said the Anaheim Ducks wouldn't have deserved to win the Stanley Cup with that coach. It's like, well, those are pretty harsh words coming from a guy like Timu Solani. You don't necessarily expect that. So I don't really have an opinion one way or the other. I'm kind of used to things being said that way about Bruce Boudreau. He's a tough coach to play for. And a lot of players have said stuff like that before, after the fact, or there's been a lot of rumblings that players might think that way. But to hear Timu Solani talk so openly about it and to see those quotes so scathing when it comes to his former head coach, that's the surprising thing, knowing that it's coming from Timu Solani. Pat Steinberg along with you as the big show continues. And we welcome in Jeff Merrick from the NHL on Sportsnet. And we're going to see plenty of him as we start rolling out our NHL on Sportsnet package here over the next number of weeks. But I very much encourage you to tune in tonight to Sportsnet, 5 o'clock Calgary time, NHL special. A numbers game, and Jeff, you're going to be kind of spearheading this whole thing. Kind of give us an idea as to what we're expecting tonight.
Yeah, I don't want to scare your listeners off here, Pat. Ladies and gentlemen, this is not a math test. Just so you know, I know when you start hearing terms like PDO and Corsi thrown around, you think, oh boy, do I need an abacus to watch this show? No, you don't. Tonight's show is all about where analytics was, where it is now, and where it is heading. There's one piece, Pat, that you really have to see that features Hockey Night in Canada host Ward Cornell from the 60s in a tongue-in-cheek piece about computers predicting hockey games. So there's a little bit of fun. There's a lot of information. You know, we'll break down why players like Patrice Bergeron are the darlings of the fantasy stats community. We'll tell you why it's not Drew Doughty that makes Jake Muzzin a better hockey player, but quite the opposite. You know, so we'll get into some of the nuts and bolts about analytics and who they make look good and who doesn't look good at the end of these types of equations. But also, for me, it's a very watchable show. It's one that is entertaining and informative with a pretty healthy dose of humor. Because when you're dealing with a topic which can be as dry as analytics,
yep,
you do need to laugh, Pat. You do need to laugh.
Well, I think that's been the biggest challenge for me. I've kind of been pretty into this stuff now for the last 5 years, and then trying to translate it on the radio without people either telling you to shut up, having their eyes bulge out of their heads, or not understanding what you're saying because it's so dry.
Yeah.
It's a challenge. Yeah. So I think that's the new step now for analytics.
It's funny, I was talking to our executive producer, Mitch Kirstner, yesterday about this, you know, and he has to walk a fine line here, and we all do, whether you're in the play-by-play booth or whether you're working studio, whether you're working ringside. How much is too much? How much information is the audience ready for? How much do people already have their heads wrapped around terms as basic as Corsi? Knowing at the same time, you don't just want to turn this into a math class. You don't want people to feel like there's going to be a test at the end of three periods of hockey. So that's the line we're walking right now at Sportsnet for a hockey presentation this year. We know we have to discuss it. It is part of the vocabulary now in the NHL. It's part of the new reality. I'm late to the game on it. I've only been into it for the last couple of years. It's opened my eyes wide about certain statistics.
Mm-hmm.
I don't look at hit stats the same way. I don't look at block shots the same way. I don't look at takeaways the same way. But the line that we're going to walk now is, where's the balance between giving people this new information that allows them to watch the game from a different perspective versus flooding them with a bunch of numbers that alienates them from the game they've chosen to watch tonight?
Tonight on Sportsnet, NHL special, a numbers game. It's at 5 o'clock, hosted by this man, Jeff Merrick, who joins us here on the Big Show on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. At one point, we were, this conversation was being had in baseball, and now we're at the point where new numbers are always being found in baseball, and all these things that were considered to be outcast numbers and ridiculous 15 years ago are now, you know, regular nomenclature, and they're just used as gospel.
Yeah.
Do you think it's moving in that direction in hockey circles?
Yeah, and you know what? Hockey's the last of the dance. Hockey's sort of, you know, through this movement, showing itself to be the least progressive sport, the least one that's the one that's least open to being viewed in a new way. You're right about baseball, and baseball is such a numbers-driven sport. Many have said, well, it's a static sport, so you know, it's non-fluid, it's not a flowing sport. So there are those one-on-one confrontations all throughout the game. So it's a great statistical sport to follow. But look at the work being done in basketball. And even moreover, I don't know how much of a fan of European soccer you are, but if you ever watch European soccer, the stuff they are doing with analytics, and Kyle Dubas, who runs the analytics department for the Toronto Maple Leafs, is on our special tonight. He'll tell you, you know, why he draws a lot of inspiration from soccer, because of the way of the flow of the game and the use of offsides and moving the ball / pucks forward. The use of analytics in soccer in Europe is staggering, to the point where I think we're all on the same page about this, Pat. Even though these may sound like, you know, new concepts and heady concepts, you know, what if driving possession mean? Right now, we're still in caveman era when it comes to stats. I think 5 years from now, you know, we'll look back on this show that you're going to watch tonight and say, what were they even thinking? How primitive? You know, what were these primitive tools they're using, Corsi and Fenwick and PDO to judge the game? Like, you know, the way I've always sort of, you know, or lately since I've been talking more about this, the way I've been able to describe it that makes sort of sense to me is, you know, we live in a quantum mechanics world where things like string theory are the way that quantum physicists understand the universe. But we're arguing from a Newtonian physics perspective. Like, the battle is so far gone. Like, already, you know, I've talked to a number of people that say, yeah, I don't even consider Corsi to be a useful stat. Like, that's how far advanced some people are past this sort of Stone Age very rudimentary tool that we're using, which is Corsi and Fenwick and PDO.
Mm-hmm. One more for you, and you mentioned the team, the Toronto Maple Leafs. I'm curious from your standpoint, if the debate wasn't being had last year between the fancy stats community and the traditional community about the Toronto Maple Leafs and whether or not they were, no, they're really good, they live on the edge, and they're, no, this isn't sustainable, it's going to fall off, and you know, it ended up being they fell right off a cliff. And then the Maple Leafs go out, they were probably the team that was most dramatically changing the way they go about things in this respect this offseason. Dubas comes
100%.
In, they made a couple of different hirings about addressing the analytics department. Had it not been the Maple Leafs kind of at the center of this entire discussion, would this be as loud a discussion as we're having right now?
A great point. An outstanding point. You nailed it. You know, when anything happens around that hockey team, everybody takes notice. Whether you like the Maple Leafs or you don't like the Maple Leafs, one thing we're all on the same page about, when things happen to the Maple Leafs, all 30 markets are listening and all 30 markets are watching. And it just so happened that the Toronto Maple Leafs became the test market team. When their shooting percentage was so high and their save percentage was so high, that's what PDO is.
Yep.
You know, the fancy stats guy said, this is not sustainable. There is going to be a regression and the Maple Leafs will come crashing back down to earth. They became the battleground team. Now, the battleground team going into next year will be the Colorado Avalanche and the Anaheim Ducks. They will be next year what the Maple Leafs were this year, where the fancy stats community are waiting for them to come crashing back down to earth. Oh, there's no way Varlamov can have that save percentage that high. There's no way the shooting percentage for the Avs can remain that high. Look what happened to Patrick Waugh when he got line matched against the Minnesota Wild and the screws were put on him. All of a sudden, the Colorado Avalanche didn't look like the same team that they were in the regular season. But you're right. When the Maple Leafs are a battleground team for an issue, that issue takes on a larger than life status in the hockey world. You're bang on about that, Pat.
Once again, the title of the program, NHL Special, a numbers game. It's at 5 o'clock tonight on Sportsnet, hosted by Jeff Merrick. Plenty of names on there, from Kyle Dubas to Tyler Dello and more. Yep. Really looking forward to it. It's going to be a lot of fun. And Jeff, I know you've got a busy afternoon, so we'll let you go. But thanks so much for just taking a few minutes out of your day today, and looking forward to the special tonight.
Yeah, it should be interesting. Yeah, I heard you talking a little bit about Tamu Solani before I came on. Listen, whether you agree with Tamu Solani or not, does that guy know how to sell a book or what?
No kidding.
Like, is that marketing 101? Boy, are you talking? I mean, his career was brilliant. How about the marketing of Tamu Solani? Boom, that's how you drop a book on the marketplace.
Yeah, that's the excerpt that you want to release to try and get people to read the rest of your book, right?
Brilliant, brilliant. Yeah. I ordered my copy. Get yours now, Pat. Get yours now.
Yeah, it'll be good. Good stuff, Jeff, and looking forward to it tonight. Have a good day, hey?
Yeah, we'll chat soon.
There's Jeff Merrick of the NHL on Sportsnet joining us here on The Big Show on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Look, I know that anytime you start talking about analytics and fancy stats and all that, it's, you know, there's going to be people who listen. There's going to be people who are intrigued. There's going to be people who are still like, I don't understand it. And there's going to be that group of people who say, you know, blow it out your bleep. That crap means nothing. And there is that community. I'm not even saying it in I'm not even trying to make fun of people who say it like that or who think about analytics like that. But there is a group of people who don't necessarily buy into it as much as others do. And that's okay. But the fact of the matter is, the NHL is moving that way. You know, the Edmonton Oilers and Calgary Flames and Toronto Maple Leafs and Pittsburgh Penguins and New Jersey Devils and all these teams wouldn't be paying money to people to join their organizations unless they thought it was a useful tool. I'm not saying it's the be-all and end-all tool. I'm not saying that all these guys are going to last and become 20-year NHL veteran staff members. Because you know what? There might be cases where they say, you know what? Maybe this isn't as useful as we thought it was to our organization. But there is great use in some of what is being done, some of what has been done. And I think that we're starting to see that, look, it happened in baseball. It is now gospel in baseball. And yes, baseball and hockey are different sports. One is a far more fluid, fast-moving, ever-changing game than the other. So not as many of these metrics can be applied as gospel as they are in baseball. Doesn't mean that there's no metrics that can be, because there are a lot. And I think you're starting to see NHL teams, more and more of those NHL teams, take notice of that. 5 o'clock tonight on Sportsnet, NHL Special, a numbers game with Jeff Merrick and company. Looking forward to that. Hey, the rookie portion of Calgary Flames training camp now in the books. 3-1, Calgary wins over the University of Calgary Dinos at Father David Bauer Arena yesterday. I asked you a little earlier, a couple of players who might have stood out for you at 960-960. Hunter Smith looked decent offensively for a man of his stature. I was impressed. Mason McDonald looked solid as well. The thing about Smith is, I think that his skating has improved from July to now, because when he was at development camp, I think you knew that his skating wasn't great, and that was going to be something that he had to work on. It still is, but I think it's improved. It's still such a giant work in progress with Hunter Smith, and excuse the pun, he's a big man, but it is a big work in progress. He's got so many raw tools, but I don't think he's as polished as a lot of players are right now at his age. You take a look at his jump from points from 2 years ago to this past year, his draft year, it was drastic. Like, we were talking next to no offensive production to pretty decent offensive production and then point per game in the playoffs. He is on a progression, and he's just a later bloomer than others. His offensive work still needs a ton of fine-tuning. You know, he still makes pretty rudimentary plays in the offensive zone. You know, a lot of he's still, in some ways, I saw this a lot in Penticton. He'd make the, you know, the NHL 15 move. Everybody goes down the wing on an NHL game, on a video game, and passes to the middle and tries to get a one-timer. That's what you do in video games. It doesn't work that way in hockey for the most part when you're actually playing. You got to cycle. You got to get things open. And you have to chip and all that type of stuff. And it takes a little bit more than speed down the wing, past the middle, goal, or pass cross team, and maybe a guy on the other wing will be able to snipe it. So I think he's still learning a lot about his offensive instincts, and I think when he gets to the point that maybe a lot of other guys his age are right now, we're going to be talking about an absolute beast of a guy. I don't think we're ever going to be talking about a point-per-game NHLer, But junior hockey, watch out. And I think he's a legitimate NHL prospect. I really do. Because of that size, the progression that he's shown, the learning curve that he's been able to get on top of, and just the ability for him to use that frame for good in the National Hockey League, I'm looking forward to it. This guy says, no names on these texts, but still, I thought Austin Carroll impressed. Likely the best fighter of the prospects, but no one would go with him. And finally, Wolf was a beast. Talking about this man, David Wolf, who scored one of the goals last night. Actually, not this man, but this top topic of conversation. The man we're going to hear from is Ryan Huska, the head coach of the Adirondack Flames, who had this to say about Mr. David Wolf in his first game yesterday.
He was excited to play, and he wanted to leave a good first impression, and I think he did. That guy showed he's a worker, he can skate, and I think once he gets an understanding of how he can be successful here, then he'll be off to the races. Like, he's a big, powerful man, and I think the success that he'll have will be working the corners down low, and if he can do a good job of being heavy on pucks, then I think he'll be just fine.
I'm intrigued by the guy. I'm not necessarily on board with, okay, you just wait till he gets to the National Hockey League type level, but I'm intrigued by the guy. He's certainly tough to play against, and he's a physical specimen. So I'm curious as to what his first year of North American professional hockey is going to be like, and I would imagine he spends a good chunk of that in the American Hockey League, if not all of that, with Adirondack, but still, I'm quite curious as to how that's going to go. This is the Big Show on Sportsnet 960. The Fan can still get your Rhett Warner t-shirts from Dice Hockey, all in support of Kidsport online right now. Sportsnet.ca/960. You can order yours until the end of the month, so you've only got 12 days left, less than 2 weeks, if you want to get your Rhett Warner t-shirt. The best part of that is you get your Rhett Warner t-shirt, you're going to be part of a pretty, you know, exclusive club. Not a lot of people are going to have these things, and when it's all said and done, you're getting given back to a pretty worthy charity. Kidsport is going to get every single penny of these proceeds. Once again, sportsnet.ca/960 if you want to help Kidsport and get your own Rhett Warner t-shirt. Pretty cool stuff. You can check them out online. The Calgary Hitmen are set, and they're just 2 days away from their season opener. We've got Brad Curl, the voice of the Calgary Hitmen, bringing us the Western Hockey League Insider next on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Talk to your boss. It's totally okay to stream Sportsnet 960 all day and night on your work computer. In fact, it's new company policy. Sportsnet.ca/960. As the Leafs turn color and Calgary sports fans get fired up for so much of the good stuff, Sportsnet 960 jams in so much play-by-play. NFL Sunday, Monday, and Thursday nights. Blue Jays baseball, the Hitmen are back, the Flames preseason, and Major League Baseball playoffs are also coming soon. Log on to sportsnet.ca/960 for game times. Proud to be the home of the NHL, WHL, NFL, MLB, and more. Sportsnet 960, The Fan, Calgary.
It's back. Costco deals at Cam Clark Ford. Right now, Costco members can lease a 2014 F-150 Super Crew 4x4 for 24 months at just $399 per month. Taxes extra. And exclusive to Cam Clark Ford until September 30th. With every vehicle purchase, you get a chance to putt for dough. You could knock $5,000 off your price. Remember, Calgary's best deals are at Cam Clark Ford in Airdrie. Still just 10 minutes north of Calgary on Highway 2. Call 1-888-948-6660 or check out CamClarkFord.com.
Hospital Home Lottery. It's the little things that lead you to the big win. Like that little feeling of happiness you get knowing you've got tickets to the game and every game all season long. Get your tickets before midnight tomorrow, and you could win season tickets to the Calgary Flames, Stampeders, and more, plus $10,000 cash. Over 4,000 prizes, including the $2.1 million custom-built lakefront home in mahogany. Bonus deadline midnight tomorrow. Order online, calgaryhospitalhomelottery.ca.
Hi, I'm Bob Short, date of birth February 8th, social insurance number 655-677-393. My banking password is my cat's name, Sprinkles. It's the same one I use for everything. With Johnson Incorporated for my home insurance, I have up to $30,000 in identity theft coverage included free of charge. Not that my info will ever fall into the wrong hands, but if it does, Johnson can help me get back on my feet. And they can help you, too. Call 1-800-NEW-QUOTE for your free home insurance quote and ask about identity theft coverage today. Conditions may apply.
Sedation and dentistry at Arbor Lake Dental Care helped Louise overcome her fear of the dentist.
My experience with sedation dentistry was fabulous. I've always been terrified of dentistry. dentist and my mouth hurts all the time. Having sedation dentistry was an experience that I will go through again and again and again.
Arbor Lake Dental Care is a general practice with Dr. Michael Lettich and Drs. Chris Dawn and Ian Miller. Call 547-2938 or visit arborlakedental.com.
Individual results may vary.
Driving a Mitsubishi feels like this. And with our seat sale on now, you might want to do this.
Finding directions to Mitsubishi dealership.
You'll only pay 99 cents a liter for gas, so it's easier to drive to this.
Finding directions to Grand Canyon.
Because for the next year, filling up will make you feel like doing this. There's no better time to get to know Mitsubishi than during the Mitsubishi seat sale, where you'll pay 99 cents a liter for up to 1 year. Mitsubishi. Built better, backed better.
Some conditions apply. See dealer for details or visit MitsubishiMotors.ca.
The BMW Ultimate Performance event is on now.
So come in and find the best selection of 2014 BMW 3 Series models while they last.
With pure performance and unparalleled precision.
The BMW 3 Series will make any drive an exhilarating one, but you better move fast.
Because with lease and finance rates from 0.9% and up to $1,500 in 2014 model year credits,
your dream 3 Series could become someone else's.
Offers end September 30th. Visit your BMW retailer today for details.
The Flames preseason is coming. Sportsnet 960 The Fan is the home of the Calgary Flames in the National Hockey League. The first preseason game goes Sunday. The Flames host the Edmonton Oilers at the Saddledome. Pat Steinberg has your Flames warm-up pregame show with our new play-by-play team of Derek Wills and Peter Lombardius. We start at 5, play-by-play at 6. Right after the game, the Hot Stove Lounge fires up for another season. Flames and Oilers preseason game 1 only on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Today's Secret Seat brought to you by Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar. Watch every CFL and NFL game and enjoy game day specials at Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar, 6060 Memorial Drive Northeast.
Your Secret Seat is T89. T89.
Mobile, magazine, TV, online, and on your radio. Sportsnet 960. The Fan. Listen like never before. Talking sports in the afternoon. This is The Big Show on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Time for the Western Hockey League Insider. Brad Curl joins us here on The Big Show this afternoon as we get closer and closer to the start of the season for the Calgary Hitmen. Saturday, the home opener for the Calgary Hitmen. Brad, it's right around the corner. Are you ready, my friend?
Am I here?
Are you ready?
Oh, sorry, I heard a ringing bell.
Isn't that bizarre when you go on the air, you just hear this like it's because I knew that as soon as I said that and you would have heard it, you would have missed my question to you. So are you ready to start the season?
You know what? Absolutely. No disrespect to the preseason, no disrespect to training camp. Been there, done that 100 times. It's the regular season. It's just something special about it. And I know some people might think, hey, it's 20 degrees outside and it's beautiful. And yes, it is. It's all those things. But it's the official start to hockey season when the puck drops for the regular season. And for the Calgary Hitmen this year, it's their 20th anniversary season. So there's an extra bit of flair and excitement heading into Saturday night. So, yeah, you bet. Myself, Ken Thrower, Will Nolf, Josh Humphreys, all hands on deck for Saturday night.
Well, I just can't wait to hear Ken's voice on the radio again. We'll get to some Hitmen talk near the end of our Western Hockey League Insider Hit today. Plus, we'll hear an interview with you and Max Shields, who's going to be a big part of the Calgary Hitmen's success this year. But league-wide, it's interesting to note, Brad. I mean, we're talking about we know that the Calgary Hitmen have a new head coach in Mark French, but Calgary is not the only team with a new head coach. In fact, we're talking like close to almost half of the teams in the Western Hockey League with new coaches.
Yeah, it's going to be very interesting. As you may or may not know, those who are listening, there are 22 teams in the Western Hockey League. 10 of them, yes, 10 will have brand new bench bosses when the puck drops tomorrow night in the Western Hockey League. Of course, the Calgary Hitmen will start on Saturday, but the league gets going tomorrow night. And the one thing we've noticed from the Western Hockey League in the last, say, 5 to 10 years is the quality of coaching in this league. And I've even talked to former coaches that used to coach back in the 80s and 70s, and they, to a man, still tell me, wow. The quality of individuals that are behind the benches in the Western Hockey League right now, you all might want to almost compare it to a mini National Hockey League. There's so many names that have been there, done that at the pro level, and are now coaching in the Western Hockey League. You look at the Moose Jaw Warriors. Who's their head coach this year? Well, it's Tim Hunter. Of course, played with the Calgary Flames, was a former man on the bench in the National Hockey League. Bob Woods, who's coached at the pro level, the new coach in Saskatoon. Jamie Compon is now the new head coach of the Portland Winterhawks. John Paddock is the bench boss in Regina. Steve Hamilton takes over the new head coaching range in Edmonton. He's one that was promoted from within because Derek Laxdal went to the American Hockey League. So there's one that moved from within. But then there's some legends that are behind the benches. You look at Don Hay in Kamloops, who moves over from Vancouver, an unbelievable man in the Western Hockey League, and his pro coaching pedigree is sensational. Troy Ward, who we well know was a head coach of the Flames farm team last year in Abbotsford, is now the new head coach of the Vancouver Giants. Dan Lambert is now the head coach in Kelowna with Ryan Huska moving up to take over the Flames affiliate job in the American Hockey League. And as you allude to, Mark French, the new head coach in Calgary, and his predecessor, Mike Williamson, is now the new head coach in Tri-City. So if I lost you along the way, I don't blame you, because there's a lot of changes, and never before have I ever seen this much change at the coaching helm in the league.
Yeah, that's kind of the moral of the story. Even if you kind of had your head explode during that whole thing, basically, the moral of the story is it was a straight-up revolving door of coaches this summer in the Western Hockey League and a brand-new dynamic league-wide, I think, in a lot of ways because of it. Brad Curl's with us, our Western Hockey League insider. Hey, Curly, what superstar Western Hockey League player might be traded early on this year?
Well, it's interesting because normally we don't see a lot of high-profile names move until the WHL trade deadline, when teams either decide if they're in contention or sitting on the outside. Well, one team has already announced that they're exploring trade options should their star player come back. And the player that I talk about is Nikita Sherbak, who was drafted in the first round of the NHL entry draft by the Montreal Canadiens. And he was already signed by Montreal. It didn't take that long after the draft that he was signed. And it's a unique situation for a player that was taken 26th overall. Sometimes those players don't sign until later, but obviously Montreal loves what they see in Sherbak. Well, his WHL rights belong to the Saskatoon Blades, and the Blades last year hit an absolute home run with Sherbak. He was the last player taken in the CHL import draft, and by the end of the season, as we all know, was a highly ranked player for the draft and went in the first round to Montreal, as I alluded to. Well, Saskatoon has said that they are exploring trade options with Sherbak as we speak right now, basically saying that they're exploring the market to see what's out there, and maybe the opportunity exists for the Blades, who are not expected to be a contender this year, to speed up their rebuild process. So I would anticipate that if Sherbak is returned to the Western Hockey League, that there would be no shortage of teams that have openings for an import player that would raise their hand and say, very much interested. So this could help the Saskatoon Blades, who had to pay dearly, as we remember, a few years ago, to bulk up their roster when they were the MasterCard Memorial Cup host. This would allow them, should Sherbak come back, to maybe fill in some of those holes. Now, having said that, Sherbak learning this week that he is one of 64 players that is going to Montreal Canadiens camp. He would love to stay in Montreal, and the early prognosis has been that he has been very, very good, so it's not a lock that Sherbak will be returned. He could make Montreal as a teenager.
The new captain of the Lethbridge Hurricanes, Brad, is who?
Well, he is a player that is very familiar to Calgary. His name is Jamal Watson. He is a Calgary kid and becomes the 24th captain in Hurricanes history. And you look at the history of the Hurricanes and their franchise and all the captains they've had. Brent Seabrook, the star defenseman of the Chicago Blackhawks, one of their captains over the course of time. Well, Jamal Watson, who was raised in Calgary, has played his entire career with a hockey club. He's been a guy that may be one of the fastest skaters in the entire league. He was fourth in the Hurricanes in scoring last year. And Lethbridge saying that they went through an awful lot of adversity last year. And through it all, Jamal Watson showed his dedication to the hockey club and his character. And, you know, we remember and we've reported on this program last year about the number of Hurricane players that had asked for a trade and, a tough situation for the hockey club last year. Well, they feel they've got a terrific leader this year in Jamal Watson.
Turn my mic on. It's Brad Curl with us. He is our Western Hockey League insider here on the big show on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Okay, we're going to hear from Max Shields, Calgary Hitmen goaltender, in just a couple of minutes. Get his take as he gets set to start the season for the Calgary Hitmen. But the entire team gets set for Saturday, the home opener on Saturday. Bradley, set us up for it.
Well, it's an unbelievable event, more so than just a hockey game, because every single year, they do an outstanding job with the player introductions here. And the namesake of the franchise, Brett, the Hitman Hart, he will be in attendance that night for a special pregame ceremony, which will obviously include the introduction of all the players this year and all the coaches. But also during the game, fans have the opportunity to purchase The game-worn jerseys from last year. They will all be auctioned off on the concourse. That includes Travis Sanheim and Jake Virtanen, who were first-round NHL picks this past summer as well. There's going to be a multitude of prizes that will be given out. And more importantly, Pat, you pull back the curtain on the young players. You know, we know who the stars of this team will be this year. We've talked about them, and the fans know about the Travis Sanheims and the Jake Virtanens and the Greg Chases. Well, this is the opportunity to see the next wave of talent, who are going to be the future of the franchise. They'll all be in the lineup. I know that there's still several players away at NHL training camps, but they'll have a full roster. They'll be ready to go. And this is a Hitman team, Pat, that did very well in the preseason. Mm-hmm. They went 4-2, and by all accounts, talking to the associate coach, Brent Kissio, he feels they really could have won all of them but one, and some of them were handled quite easily. In fact, there was a double-digit goal total that they rang up on the Prince Albert Raiders. So there's a lot of excitement and a lot of belief that this team has the capability to be a real contender once again in the Western Hockey League. And it all begins Saturday night.
Looking forward to it, and looking forward to you and Ken Thrower back on the airwaves. It's going to be a lot of fun this year in the 20th anniversary season for the Calgary Hitmen. Thanks, Brad. We'll talk to you again next week.
Sounds good. Thanks, Pat.
So Saturday, we've got the game for you here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. It is the home opener, the season opener for the Calgary Hitmen. And so important this season for the Hitmen is what happens in between the pipes. Chris Drieger is no longer with the team, so Max Shields is the guy who's going to be counted on in between the pipes. He's been waiting for this opportunity for two seasons now to be the unquestioned number one goaltender on this team. He spoke with Brad Curl today.
Well, Mac, here it is. I mean, it's opening weekend in the Western Hockey League. I know as a veteran guy, you have to go through the preseason, you have to go through training camp, but they're probably not fun things, I would imagine.
After going through them a few years, you get kind of tired of them and want to jump right in the regular season. Right when you come back to the city, you don't really want to do all these practices and that. You just want to get back to playing at the Saddle Dome.
Can't imagine that you're going to miss doing fitness testing. That probably is now said and done.
Yeah, most of the guys are happy that we have to wait another year till we have to do any of that.
Tell me about your fitness in the off season. Are you bigger? Are you stronger? Are you faster? Or what did you focus on?
Yeah, the main thing I focused on this summer was improving my leg strength. As a goalie, that's our bread and butter, basically. We don't need to be benching a truck or anything like that. So I worked really hard on some goalie-specific training, too. I had a new trainer this year, Tiffany Armstrong, back in Saskatoon, and we focused on a lot of goalie-specific things from kind of the guru of goalie training, Maria Mountain. So it was a lot more of a specific workout this summer for me.
Max Shields of the Calgary Hitmen, our guest here on Sportsnet 960, The Fan. Tell me about the team in front of you. We'll start with the back end. No Janen Risling, no Alex Roach. Two big, mean, tough guys that protect you around the blue paint nicely. And Kenton Helgeson goes up, and he'll play forward this year. So tell me about your blue line.
Yeah, it's a different look back there than the few years I've been here before. We're a little bit smaller, but we're extremely athletic back there, and we have some really smart hockey players, and I mean, they're not as big as Janen or Alex was, but they definitely have the compete level to battle in front of the net. And I've known the guys for a while now because we've all come through the ranks a little bit together. And there's just some amazing skill back there, so the back end won't be a problem at all.
Have you had a chance to talk with your D-core about how you like to play the puck or how you like them to move bodies in front of you?
Yeah, I mean, as a veteran guy this year, that's kind of a responsibility I have to take on, is kind of helping out with my younger D-core. We're all really good guys back there, so the communication level is high, and I think any time in the D-zone, communication is probably your strongest asset.
Now let's talk about the forwards. Clearly, that's where the majority of the guys are that are still at NHL camps. So you're going to get players back. But as a goaltender, you've seen this group. How talented are they as shooters?
Yeah, with them going to the NHL camp, it's kind of helped with some confidence with them not being at practice. But yeah, when we get all of them back, hopefully it's going to be pretty good. You look at pretty much our whole four lines of forward, it's going to be a really hard roster to crack. So we have Greg and Vertz and Tambellini all gone. They should be really high up there, and I think Faz is going to have a breakout year. And Helgi as a forward, he proved last year that he was able to play both, but as a forward, he's putting up some good numbers, especially in front of the net. So it's going to be pretty exciting when they all get back here.
Finally, tell me about this weekend, not having those pro camp guys. How do you play this weekend? You look at the preseason, you had success. You went 4-2, and you didn't, for the most part, have any of those guys.
Yeah, we feel confident with the guys we have here. I mean, if you look at the guys without the NHL, the guys that are gone to the NHL camp, we have a really strong team as it is. So it's just when those guys get back, we're just going to be that much more stronger. So when they get here, it's going to be pretty fun.
Perfect. Before I let you go, tell me about the home opener. Excited to open the season at home. It's been a while since the Hitmen have opened here at the Saddle Dome, usually on the road.
Yeah, it's going to be a really exciting time. Home opener is always kind of a fun way to kick the season off. I mean, a lot of our families come in and just kind of get together. So it's one of those games that you really want to get amped up for. And you kind of just want to show the fans what to expect for the year and kind of set expectations right off the hop. And, I mean, if you look at our last two seasons, when it came down to the playoff run at the end of the season where we were trying to chase for first, it came down to a couple games, so we need to make sure we have a really good start because that's where a lot of times the points matter.
Good stuff, and it comes against a rival too in Red Deer. Good luck Saturday night.
Thank you very much.
There is Max Shields of the Calgary Hitmen, who open up their regular season on Saturday when they have their home opener. Looking forward to it. We'll have it for you here on Sportsnet 960, The Fan. That is your Western Hockey League Insider. We've still got lots to do as your afternoon program continues. The big show is into hour number one. I'm sure Josh Humphries has been doing nothing but preparing for three burning questions. It's on your way next. Don't forget, you still got a little bit of time. You've got just over a week. Next week is the last week to get in for the romantic escape with Signature Vacations. We're sending you to Bloody Bay in Negril, Jamaica with your lady. You're going to enjoy it all on us. You get to impress her. You get to get away from the snow whenever it comes, and you get to have a great vacation at the Rio Negril Resort. It's for fan club members only, though, so you got to use your fan club points at sportsnet.ca/960. Escape for a romantic getaway from your friends at Signature Vacations, Rio Hotel and Resorts, and Sportsnet 960, The Fan. The big show continues next.
Sportsnet 960. Sounding good on the radio and even better on your phone. Download the Rogers Radio app and take Sportsnet 960 The Fan everywhere. NHL on Sportsnet. Puck drops October 8th. And Sportsnet 960 The Fan wants to send you to the ultimate NHL fan experience. You could be at 5 games in 5 nights in 5 cities. Starting at Molson Canadian NHL Faceoff in Toronto October 8th. Travel provided by Expedia.ca. Enter now. Sportsnet.ca/960.
Summer has passed and the Calgary Hitmen are back.
Join them this Saturday at the Adrenaline Source for Sports home opener
as they kick off the 20th anniversary season with a spectacular laser light show, dancers, a jersey unveiling, and an appearance by Brett the Hitman Hart.
Purchase your tickets today and learn how to receive a commemorative Hitman 20th anniversary jersey
by calling 403-777-4646
or by visiting hitmanhockey.com.
Hitman Hockey, the best there is, the best there was, the best there ever will be.
Can I get another triple espresso, please?
Are you sure you want another triple?
Yeah. I save big at Fountain Tire's 4-for-3, so let's make it a quadruple.
Okay, that's like 4 shots, you know.
I can count.
Get more of what you want right now at Fountain Tire, like a set of 4 selected Goodyear tires for the price of 3.
Is that your phone buzzing?
No, it's just my heart. Well, maybe some other internal organs, sure.
You should get that checked out, man.
Hurry in. Fountain Tire's 4-for-3 sale ends soon.
I did say decaf, didn't I?
Sportsnet 960 talks golf on Tuesdays. Check out Tee Off Tuesdays with Ryan Pinder. 9:25 a.m. we talk golf news, golf courses, golf lessons, golf holidays. You like to play golf or just follow the PGA, it's for you. Tee Off Tuesdays for Speargrass Golf Course, where every day's a great day. Ryan Pinder and Tee Off Tuesdays on Sportsnet 960.
Business is more than gut instinct. It's about understanding the market, recognizing the value of a product, and picking the perfect moment to strike. Seize your opportunity at the Cadillac Summer's End event. Act now and get 0.9% leasing for 36 months and up to a $2,000 bonus for eligible owners on the critically acclaimed 2014 Cadillac ATS. With available all-wheel drive and a handcrafted interior, the ATS makes luxury its business. For full offer details, visit albertacadillac.com.
Breaking sports news can happen anytime, anywhere. Stay connected all the time with Sportsnet 960 breaking sports alerts sent right to your inbox. We're connected to sports sources all over the world. If it's breaking news for the Flames, Hitmen, Stampeders, Roughnecks, or any other sport you care about, know first by signing up for Sportsnet 960 breaking sports alerts. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Okay, Dodge Grand Caravan?
Grand Caravan, $20,998. Clear them all out.
What about Dodge Journey?
$19,998. Clear them all out.
Ram 1500?
Let me see. The 2015s are coming, so clear them all out. $27,498.
Every vehicle is clearing out at the All Out Clear Out. On now at your Chrysler, Jeep, Dodge, and Ram dealer. But they're clearing out fast, so get to your dealer today.
Hey, do you own or operate a business? Want to attract and retain talented employees? Then put a group benefit plan from Alberta Blue Cross to work for you. Our group plans provide the highest standard of coverage and convenience that Alberta employees prefer. Our innovative solutions and leading-edge technology deliver unparalleled choice and flexibility to help you build a group plan that suits your business's needs and budget. Call Alberta Blue Cross directly or talk to your plan advisor today for a confidential no-obligation quote.
Sportsnet 960, The Fan, and Shank Sports Grill are proud to be the home for the NFL Game of the Week. Calgary loves the NFL. Shank's has two great locations, Crowfoot in the Northwest and McLeod Trail South. Fan Club members log on to win a $50 gift card to catch the game at Shank's. Monday Night Football, always a great time to start your week. Loads of big screen TVs. It's really the only place to watch the NFL. Shank's Sports Grill, your football headquarters for all NFL action. The home of the National Football League in Calgary. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Earn even more points now by liking Sportsnet 960 on Facebook and following us on Twitter. Sign up to become a fan club member now at sportsnet.ca/960. Your chance to score tickets to the biggest games, hottest concerts, and some awesome prizes. Head to sportsnet.ca/960.
Proud to broadcast from Calgary, Alberta, Canada. Sportsnet 960, The Fan. The questions you're asking, the answers you're craving. It's three burning questions on the big show, only on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
All right, happy Thursday. Josh Humphreys has got your three burning questions this afternoon. Joshua, where we start?
All right, well, question number one, let's start with the Flames. As I guess you can officially say, MadeCap underway as the physicals and medical testing going at Winsport today. We'll hear some comments from that coming up later on here in the program today. But question number you, start with some of these positions. When you try to look ahead through training camp and to the start of the regular season, number one, who do you think will be the Flames starter in net when they open up the season against the Vancouver Canucks?
I think that the day one starter is going to be Jonas Hiller. I do. I think that he'll be the guy who gets the day one start. And, you know, I'm curious as to how it goes. Because remember, Kari Rama was the night one starter last year. And then I think didn't play the next six games because Joey McDonald got the starts after that. So just because Hiller is your night one starter doesn't necessarily mean anything for the rest of the season. But I do believe Hiller will be the night one starter. And I think my overall gut is that we're talking about 60-40 split, and I think that it'll probably be Hiller on the 60 and Ramo on the 40. So, yeah, I'll say Jonas Hiller is the night one starter for the Calgary Flames. Are you on board?
I would probably say so of bringing him in. I think that was probably the intention to bring him in to maybe take a little bit of the pressure off Kari Rama, and not to say that Kari Rama didn't do very good last year for the Flames. He did an outstanding job, but just in a way, I think, take a little bit of pressure off him having a veteran here as well, because Kari Rama was still pretty young in his NHL career as well. So I'd have to say Jonas Hiller will be your number one starter, but I would be surprised if the Flames have a year where they have two goaltenders kind of rotating if they play similar amount of games throughout the season, kind of like a 50-30 at the most, maybe split. But yeah, I think Jonas Hiller definitely game one starter.
Yeah, and I mean, I think that they are going to push each other. Like I do think that there's going to be some pretty healthy competition. And I also think Joni Ortio enters the conversation as well. So with Ortio, Hiller, and Ramo all kind of in the same conversation, I think that there's going to be a lot of competition in camp, but also throughout the regular season in between the pipes. And again, whether it's in net or any other position, I think where the Flames are right now, that's an important thing to have.
Yeah, definitely. It's going to be a good battle to see, and it'll be fun to watch both those goaltenders throughout the regular season. I really am excited to see Jonas Hiller in a Flames uniform. Question number two is regarding a lot of news around the NHL, and I want to stick to the Ryan Johansson thing. For you, Pat, when do you think Ryan Johansson makes his season debut? Is it on time at the start of the regular season? Is it a month in, 2 months in? Is it at all this season? Do we have one of those kind of crazy log season log holdouts? Or when do you think we see Ryan Johansson play a game in the NHL this year?
I think it's not going to be on time, I don't think. I think that it's going to be a little while. I'll say, just reading the tea leaves the way they are right now, I'll say mid-November is when this whole thing gets figured out, because it looks like this is going to go a long time. It's certainly not going to be done before training camp opens, so he's going to be a camp holdout. And just the way things are going, and you've got the president of hockey operations being pretty open, and I wouldn't say scathing, but certainly very, very honest when it comes to his interpretation of the situation. When you've got that going on right now, it does not point to a quick resolution. So I'll say mid-November is when Ryan Johansson plays his first game of the season.
I'm kind of opposite. I think they will get a contract done. I think he's going to miss a good chunk of the preseason. And I think maybe he won't make his season debut right on time.
Right.
But I think he will get I think a contract will be done before the season starts. And I say that because now that it's gone public, both sides have kind of, you know, vented out a little bit here. I think things will calm down the next couple of days. Maybe Johansson, I do believe, will come down a little bit. Columbus might go up a notch, and I think this will start to get some traction. It kind of reminds you a little bit of the NHL lockout, when everybody went, you know, each side would go public after these meetings. Oh, we're coming off of our stance, and they would say they're coming off of their stance as well. So I would definitely say that contract will get done. He may miss a couple of games just to get himself into game shape, but I do think by the start the season starts, a contract will be done. I just can't see Ryan Johansson feeling that it would be beneficial to him to sit out any amount of time in his career at this time. I think he's going to eventually got to realize you're a guy that for two of the 3 years in the National Hockey League, you performed well below expectations.
Yeah, I just worry about the advice being given to him. I worry that, you know, the agent is kind of the one calling the shots, and the agent isn't necessarily thinking about that side of things. Because I think you're right. I mean, at this point, missing out on time like that, and at this point, missing out at the age of 22 on a training camp could be rather detrimental. But I think the agent is just thinking about this from a monetary standpoint only, right?
Yeah, you're exactly right. So, I mean, it's a tough situation. I see Ryan Johansson's side of it, but I see more.
I don't see Ryan Johansson's side of it. I see it
a little bit for the fact that he's a 30 goal scorer last year. I know he's asking for a ridiculous amount of money. If those reports that are coming out of Columbus are true, that he's asking for that much, it is ridiculous. So I do see it a little bit, but I'm more on the side of the Columbus Blue Jackets and Johansson here.
I don't really have a side. Like, I'm not cheering for anybody. I don't think anybody's in the wrong. I understand what the Johansson camp is doing. They're trying to maximize last season. But I agree with basically everything Columbus has come out and said. I agree with the way they're handling it. It just so happens that their situation is one where it makes it more difficult for them to just stick to their guns and win in the court of public appeal. And what I mean by that is public opinion, rather. In Columbus, it's going to be tough for them to win because they're without their leading scorer from last year and they're expected to take a next step. So the situation Columbus is in makes this tough for them. But I do, in principle, agree with the way they're going about it.
Yeah, I definitely do as well, and I definitely do. I do see it being resolved sooner rather than later.
Well, that'd be good. I would hope that would be the case, too. But
yeah, especially for Columbus' sake. They definitely need Johansson to line up, and Johansson needs to play at this point in his career. Final question on Three Birdie Questions today. Switch to some baseball. Today, Pat, will be the final time in history that the Toronto Blue Jays open up a series against Derek Jeter and the New York Yankees. Their final series against Derek Jeter. My question to you, if you have one, do you have one specific memory of Derek Jeter that really sticks out as a favorite in your mind?
Oh, yeah, there's a bunch of them. There would be the obvious one, the Baltimore game and the home run and all of that, and just how he was involved in that. Because remember, was that not his first year? And it was his hit that was so controversial. It was him who had hit the home run that. The call was made, the umpire called fan interference, all of that. So that comes to mind. And I guess it's not so much a moment, but I guess just the whole deterioration of his relationship with Alex Rodriguez is something that I'll always remember. Because remember, they were boys. They were like, it was Jeter and A-Rod, and A-Rod was the best shortstop in Texas, and here's Derek Jeter, the best shortstop in baseball, maybe with the Yankees, and you know, they were so close, and they're playing on the same team, but then it's like, oh, their relationship is really deteriorated, and A-Rod then went through his whole thing and did it while Jeter was his teammate, and that whole from them being best of friends to them being teammates but not best of friends anymore, that's one thing that I'll always remember when it comes to Jeter as well.
Yeah, the one specific memory for me that sticks out is his 3,000th hit, being a home run and stuff.
Yep.
Got a, you know, complete Derek Jeter, you know, to do it in style like that, not only to get the 3,000th hit, but to do it in that fashion and get the home run. So for me, that's definitely where the big memory for me of Derek Jeter is.
Well, because it's so recent, it's not going to be a big memory, but I think that 10 years from now, I'll still remember that final All-Star game this past summer.
Yeah, the controversy that kind of came out of it, that, you know, this is a game that means something, and, you know, pitching it straight down the middle to him pretty much.
I will absolutely remember that. So, no, good question. And I believe this is Derek Jeter's final homestand as well.
It is. It kicks off the final homestand for the Yankees. So he'll play his final series against the Jays, and then next week a couple of games, and then that is it for him in Yankee Stadium.
How crazy they're going to drag it out for three games, his retirement ceremony, right? Like, they'll do part one of the Derek Jeter retirement ceremony, when the last final game at Yankee Stadium is going to be something else. I remember how well they did Mariano Rivera, and it's a different position, but the way they did Mariano Rivera and just let him play, I thought was unbelievable, and I think they'll probably do the same thing with Derek Jeter. They'll just go about it the same way, but you know that the fans at Yankee Stadium will make it a much bigger moment, even though the Yankees and the way they go about it won't do things much differently. I'm looking forward to that, to see how it ends up working out.
Yeah, it's going to be cool, and I mean, love him or hate him, or if you're a Yankees fan or not, it's going to be a teary-eyed goodbye, I guess you could say, to one of the guys who's been a staple and has been so used to being watching baseball for the last decade and a half almost, and now it's going to be gone.
Yeah, and I'm one of those people very much in the Derek Jeter worship category right now. I'm just like, you know what? I check out the highlights every game. I'm like, what did Derek do today? I'm just the whole farewell tour the last couple of months has been pretty cool. There you go. Three burning questions for you. The big show is well underway. 1 hour in the books. Plenty more to go. We've got John Davidson to talk about. We've got Bruce Boudreau and Timu Salonen to talk about. And a whole lot more. And this room just got a whole lot brighter. This is the big show on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
If it's on the